Welcome to Caldwell University Conversations. I'm Colette Liddy, Director of News and Media Relations. So often, when we lose a loved one, we want to keep his or her legacy and memory alive. And sometimes, we're not really sure what to do or how to do it. Our guest today took the pain of losing her own child to help impoverished children on the other side of the world. Professor Monica Sivek teaches in the School of Business and CIS here at Caldwell University, and she is founder of the nonprofit organization Powell's Children, named in her son's honor. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
What is Powell's Children?
So Powell's Children is an organization that started on a trip to India. It was not planned. I say that it found me and it was a love at first sight. So I was in India in end of 2014 on the sightseeing trip with few friends. One of my friends actually has an organization that distributes soccer balls to many areas around the globe. And we had some soccer balls with us. We stopped at the schools. We distribute those balls. And at one of the schools in Abaneri in Rajasthan, we stumbled upon the school that it just felt like they were students who really, really wanted to learn but didn't have much of the environment to do so. There were 300 students, no bathrooms, no real classrooms, but there was a pretty impressive mat on the board. So when we left there, I couldn't stop thinking about it, and we found the connection to call back to school, and we said, well, let's see what we can do for them. And we started with the small project of building the bathrooms. And my friend said, well, why don't I chip in and also help with that, and we'll do it in memory of your son. So together with the friends that I went to India with, we actually started small by just starting with the few bathrooms. And then as we spoke about it and told our friends about it, our friends said, well, this sounds like an amazing project. Why don't we help too? So we end up building 8 bathrooms, and then we got excited. So we decided that we will go and apply for the nonprofit 501c3 designation.
Sure.
And continue that journey since then for last 3 years. And now we actually are completing the second story of the brand new building, which is super exciting.
Now, how many children attend this school?
So when we first got there, there were 300 plus children attending the school. So that's a big number for a school that has 0 bathrooms and one little bus. But now over almost 4 years, they actually increased by a couple hundred. So they have over 500 students, K-12. One of the biggest accomplishments that we feel is also the fact that they got accredited. So
yes,
about a year ago, they got accredited, and now they accredited institution from K-12.
So you saw this need, and you said it found you.
It found me, yes. And I say it when I actually talk about it, I said it was a love at first sight. It just felt that the people there were so sincere, humble, genuine, and the kids seemed like they really wanted to learn. And interesting part is that I don't speak their language, they don't speak mine. So all that feeling was not even because I could understand what they said, it was my friend was translating. But you can just feel it being there, that there was just that love for education was there. They just needed a little help to make it further.
To make it further. So what have you seen that's happened since this initiative has been going in the last few years? What's happened there for the village?
For the village, it's been, I feel like, again, it's hard to measure the economic impact, but I'm very happy because I feel like it's more than just educating the kids in the village. Because now when we build the school, we're very proud of the fact that we actually employ the local workers. And we actually allow the school to do it, so we don't even employ. We help. We're behind the scenes. We're consulting with them. We're talking. We're providing the funds the best to our abilities. But we allow them to make the major decisions. And they employ the local people. The principal's sons also work there, which is wonderful. So that salaries are generated in the village that they can be spent in the village. Also, now there's more teachers. So we're about 18 teachers now. That was 8 when we started. So now there's all those teachers that have jobs as well. So there is resources that we're using from the village, not only the materials, but the labor. And then, of course, the biggest part is educating kids who will be able to go to the world, maybe get more education and come back and give back to the community.
And have that ripple effect.
Yes.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the fundraising that you do here in the United States. How does that work?
That is actually, and again, we always say it's a team effort. I could not do anything without my friends, of course, that are co-founders, but also all the good people around us that supported us. It's all thanks to our generous donors and the donors who actually believed in this initiative as well with us and wanted to help. So we have one major event every year. We do the India Night because we feel it's a nice way of us to bring a little bit of the Indian culture to the US. So we dress in the attire, and then we have the food that's customary there. And important part of our fundraising is also that everything we do is donated by someone. So we have totally no overhead. So our fundraising efforts are cost-free because everything is donated. So we can really proudly say that every penny goes to school because 100% of the funds we raise we're able to send to school. And that's a beauty of being small, right? So we're a small organization, so we don't have overhead. We are able to do everything with our own, between our own means.
You and I talked before, and something struck me. You said the power of one or the power of two.
Yes. So the power of one, when I wanted to do something in memory of my son, I didn't know what it was. And I must say that this found me. But sometimes I was thinking, what would that be and how I really make an impact? And sometimes I feel like we are too bogged in the details in terms of making a huge impact. And we don't understand how much we can do as one person, even if we touch just one person. So I feel like between our means, we can impact so much another life. And even if we impact one person, that's already a huge win.
Right, right. Now, your son, it's so wonderful that it's named in his honor. And looking at the history here, he was interested in helping disadvantaged mentally and physically challenged children. So how does that feel to have this actual nonprofit in his name?
It feels wonderful. He was quite interested in helping the kids, and he derived great joy of working at our local YMCA, that runs many programs. And he was very involved there. And it feels really good to be able to do something for children as well. Even though the children are 7,000 miles away and it's education, it's a little bit different magnitude, but it feels good. It feels like carrying on a little bit of what he was deriving joy from. Because I cannot tell you how much joy it gives me. This truly gives me more than I give. Every time we get a picture or we hear back from school that there's more kids attending the school, or there is another desk purchased, it's just such a great joy.
I'm sure. So what are some of your goals now at this point that you've been doing it for a couple of years?
We are finishing the building of the second floor, which is a brand new building. It already houses 6 classrooms downstairs, and they're operational while they're building. And the second floor is being in a final stages of development. Then also will need to be furnished. So then there will be some more work there. But the dream is to actually either add the third floor or maybe another building, because there is enough real estate there, and build the college for girls.
Wonderful.
So that's the dream, actually, that principal there has, that he feels there's a big need for education for women, for girls, mm-hmm. because the local villagers mm-hmm. are more likely to send boys to school. And he feels there will be a big demand for this type of institution.
And that certainly ties in with your work. You're a professor here in the School of Business and CIS, right? So have you shared any of this with your students here at Caldwell or with any of the students?
I'm actually happy to say that the Caldwell has been part of this journey as well through donations and other support. We had students actually helping out with different initiatives, as well as many faculty and students donated to us as well. But the biggest initiative at school was the Cougar Wars run by Professor Malvon.
Last year, right?
Last year. So the students chose our organization as an organization to support with all the donations that received during that games. And I had a chance to go to the classroom and speak to them. And I told them about some of the costs that they are there and how much impact we're making. And I told them that month of education is $2.50. So I told them that, you know, every dollar we raised, it goes so far, because with $2.50, we actually educated a kid for a month. So they were, I think that spoke really to them, and they realized how much impact we can make with really every dollar.
Right, with very little American money. That's beautiful. I asked a student for a couple of questions, and he wants to know how you spread the word and gain attention for Powell's Children.
We actually, it's mostly done through just word of mouth. We do have a Facebook page, mm-hmm. and we would love for you to join us through our website and the Facebook page.
And what is that? What's the website?
The website is www.pavelschildren.org.
Okay.
P-A-W-E-L-S children.org.
And then the Facebook page is
the same.
Powell's Children.
Yes. But our reach is mostly through people we know and our friends, and that's kind of our word gets furthest that way, and that's kind of our biggest outreach.
Now, the student also asked me to ask you, what's been your greatest achievement for this organization?
Obviously, we're super excited and proud with everything that happened then, but I think the biggest joy is with the fact that we got 200 more students, because that feels like a great testimony that whatever we did was absolutely right and we had a good feeling about it. Because if we had 200 more students, that means that we filled in the need that was already there. And I think it's important to note here, because we are in US, the school is not necessarily mandatory in all areas of India. So the area the school operates, there are some children that were not going to school, or now they have a chance to go to school. So the local villagers saw how much the school was prospering, and they started to send their children as well. So there was more interest in the surrounding villages and that village to send more children, which is I think the biggest testimony that this is a fantastic initiative.
So you were inspired to start this, but it was really a team effort.
It was absolutely team effort. When we got back from the school that night, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. But if it wouldn't be for my fantastic companion, Denise Walsh and Shalini Madaras, and later on we had another person who joined our team, Colin Walsh, we would never be here where we are, because they're truly a rock of this organization. I could not have done anything alone. They're certainly the bedrock from the moment one.
So your website again, for people who are listening?
Pavelschildren.org.
Great. And I want to thank you so much and wish you all the best with this. It's beautiful work. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. And again, it wouldn't be possible thanks to everybody who's supporting us. So it's team effort.
Team effort. Our guest has been Monica Sivak. And thanks to our student, Drew Timothy, for his production assistance. I'm Colette Liddy. Join us next time for Caldwell University Conversations.